Morning, Rabbi Yisai. Our limud of Chofetz Chaim is l'schus, the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, Zlubna refuah shlema, b'korav b'soich shol chayla Yisrael. So we were speaking, Chofetz Chaim is discussing at the end of the Sefer about shiduchim. And we spoke yesterday about labels, about, you know, Yenem's he's a veg. He's not really, you know. Fachnyokt, yeah.
Can you translate
it? How do you translate fachnyokt? I think it means more than that. Fachnyokt means somebody who's very, very. He's nebuch, very sincere. I'm trying to think of okay, let me think about it. I don't know. There's some words in Yiddish which just don't translate into English. But in any event, so today he speaks about what he says. First of all, he says there are things called serious flaws. There are occasions when you are mechuyev to tell, to voluntarily, even if you're not asked. If somebody asks you inquiries about a shidduch, he says, if you know, for instance, that there is a hidden medical problem that they could not know about and that they need to know about because it could affect the marriage, then you're mechuyev to tell them. If you're a doctor, then you've got a dilemma as to, you know, if you happen to know the medical condition of a patient of yours and somebody asks you about a shidduch. That's probably a dilemma, I don't know. Similarly, he says, if you know that secretly he looks from the outside as if he's an Erlach HaBocha and he's a Shoymetorim Mitzvah, etc., etc., but you're aware for sure that he is not what he appears to be and that he's missing. It says he's lacking a basic religious observance, then that sort of thing is something that you have to tell. You have to voluntarily tell, even if you've not been asked. Obviously, you have to fit in with all the halachas of Toyeles that we learnt, it must be, your kavanah must be L'Shem Shemayim, you have to give accurate information, you can't exaggerate, you can't have a personal interest, etc., etc. So all those things, but providing that you keep the halachas of Toyeles, then you are allowed to say l'toyeles things which they could not know and they need to know because it would affect them as to their decision as to whether or not to go ahead with the shidduch. He then starts talking about what happens if they ask you, is the bocha a Talmud Chochom, can he learn? So then that b'lineda, because time is up, we'll speak about tomorrow. Yes, he said.
Started the Torahway in Northwest London, Wednesday, 29th of Teves, 10th of January. Rabbi Dudi Luckner, soup on Shabbos. This week's Torahway has been sponsored by family Grossnasser, the son of Yudel Steinbach, Nerioi, and Kama Grossnasser, Tichye, whose Tasna took place
yesterday.
And also discuss Hashavoyim v'achayolim v'amil kamar sh'yatsiru v'atahem v'mehirah v'shalom.
Amen.
Okay, good morning. Just the Sibur, thinking about what to speak. So it's always nice to speak about something which is in time with the year. So, you know, we're quite a bit after Hanukkah, quite a bit before Purim. So I was thinking perhaps, you know, in these cold winter months, I think in a lot of Yiddish homes, so a big theme is the hot soup on Shabbos, one of the highlights of the week. So I wanted to just to open up the topic a shtickle. Obviously, Bishul B'Shabbos is a very vast topic, and countless, you know, thousands of cases, you know, you can ask about and question about, but just to focus on a few of the questions that come up with the chicken soup. So just a bit of example when it comes to Bishul. So again, Bishul B'Shabbos, obviously Bishul is one of the Melachos in Shabbos. And there's different foods, different liquids, which can get cooked according to various types of heat. So basically, just to give a bit of a brief introduction, you have something in Bishul called Kli Rishon. A Kli Rishon is the pot which was heated on the fire. So you have a pot of liquid. If that was on the fire, that's a Kli Rishon. Even if the Kli Rishon comes off the fire, but since that was the pot that was used to cook with, that's a Kli Rishon. And a Kli Rishon has a very strong power of cooking. And that can basically cook everything, apart from a few exceptions, which we might discuss, but a Kli Rishon, even off the fire, can basically cook everything. Then you have a by the way, when you say Kli Rishon, also if you pour from a Kli Rishon onto something, it's called Iri Kli Rishon, it's also got the power to cook basically everything. So Kli Rishon, Iri Kli Rishon, that basically can cook everything. Then you have what's called a Kli Sheni. So, for example, you have your urn where your water is. That's a Kli Rishon. You pour the water into a cup. That's now a secondary vessel, right? It's the secondary vessel from where the source of the heat was. That's a Kli Sheni. Now, a Kli Sheni has a less of a power. And in Halacha, we say that there's a few things in the Gemara which are discussed, which the Gemara says very clearly does not cook in a Kli Sheni. What's that? Water can't cook in a Kli Sheni, and also oil can't cook in a Kli Sheni. Water and oil. Basically everything else, because we're not sure, does it cook in a Kli Sheni, does not cook in a Kli Sheni, so therefore, even a Kli Sheni, we're going to be machmen, we're going to say don't put things in a Kli Sheni, because we're choshish that they're going to cook. That's Kli Sheni. And then you have what's called Kli Shlishi. Kli Shlishi is when you take that secondary Kli, pour it into a third Kli, so a Kli Shlishi, we say basically that can't cook, that basically can't cook anything apart from perhaps a few things in the Gemara, which the Gemara calls Kali Abishal, a few things which are very, very easy to cook. So types of salted fish, tea seems to be a big nidin in the poskim. But that's basically what there is. Kli Rishon basically cooks everything, and also Iri Kli Rishon. Then you have Kli Sheni, which water and oil not, but most other things we are choshish that Kli Sheni can cook. And Kli Shlishi, basically nothing apart from and Kli Shlishi, and by the way, sorry, when you pour from a Kli Sheni, that's got the same power as a Kli Shlishi. So Iri Kli Rishon's got the same power as a Kli Rishon, but Iri Kli Sheni's got the same power as a Kli Shlishi. And Kli Shlishi basically can cook nothing. Can't cook anything apart from a few Kali Abishal. And by the way, when we say cooking, we say obviously that the liquid's got to be the shiur of Yazdeledes boy. Again, machlokes what that is exactly, but only if something's below Yazdeledes, then obviously it can't cook. If it's a Kli Rishon, which is cooled down all the way, so obviously that can't cook. So you have your Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi. So now let's come to our case of our soup. So you have your soup, Friday Leil Shabbos, your soup has been heated up on the, been heated up on hot plate, whatever it is. The soup pot, there's obviously a Kli Rishon. So then what most people do is they take a ladle and they ladle their soup into a bowl. So now, the shaila is over here, the soup pot is obviously a Kli Rishon. The question is, is the ladle considered another Kli? Now the soup went into the ladle, that's called a Kli Sheni, and now you poured it into your bowl, your soup bowl is a Kli Shlishi. And obviously, if your soup bowl is a Kli Shlishi, it's going to make things very, very practical, because once it's a Kli Shlishi, like we said, basically everything is okay to put in the soup bowl. So this is a machlokas, right? On one hand, yes, the soup bowl is a third, it's a third vessel, it's a third receptacle from where the soup has been. But others say, since your ladle went into your soup pot, so the ladle itself got heated up by the Kli Rishon. So therefore, the ladle itself gets the din of the Kli Rishon, and therefore, when you ladle your soup into your bowl, the pouring of the ladle into the bowl is Iri Kli Rishon, and the bowl is a Kli Sheni. So this is a machlokas. Is the ladle considered another Kli? Some say it is, and therefore the bowl is a Kli Shlishi, and some say it is not. And because it's a machlokas, so it could be in certain scenarios, which we're going to discuss, Be'ezer Hashem, when there's other things to rely on, then perhaps you can be makel and consider the soup bowl a Kli Shlishi. But when there's less things to rely on, then maybe we're going to be machmen and consider it a Kli Sheni. Say again? Right, so I think it could be that, as they say, it depends how long it is, and if it was if it stayed in the pot, then it got heated up, then it would be, then there's more room to react. It could depend on how long it is exactly, but in general, true. So okay, fine. So that is the introduction. So let's just go to our first scenario of chicken soup. So first scenario would be you have your washed up bowls. And you want to add your soup into your soup bowl, but the problem is the bowl is slightly wet. Then obviously this water is, you know, it's washed up. It's water which has never been cooked before. It's uncooked cold water. Would you be allowed to put your spoon your soup into your wet bowl, or should you be mukbid to make sure the bowl is dry? That's the first scenario. So So again, we're dealing here with water on the plate. Now, if you consider the ladle as a kliwishon, so when you ladle the soup into the bowl, you're doing iru kliwishon into the bowl, which would be a problem. On the other hand, if the ladle is a klisheni, so iru klisheni when it comes to water, for sure, that's totally fine. So again, I'm just coming to my area what the shailas are. It could be there is a shitter, which is that if it's a very insignificant amount of water and, you know, it's a tiny few drops, then maybe you could say that you don't care about it. But I think in general what they say over here is that since there's nothing really else to rely on, lemaisa, there's water in the bowl, and by you pouring the soup into the bowl, you could be doing iru kliwishon. Therefore, one should be makpid to dry the bowl of any residue, any water in the bowl, because al atzad that your ladle is al atzad your ladle is still kliwishon. So you're pouring very hot soup onto your cold droplets. So therefore, that could be bishul. So therefore, you should be makpid to dry the bowl before you ladle the soup into your soup bowl. Okay, that's the first thing. So now, what about adding various things to your soup? What about adding various things to your soup bowl? So again, now we're in the world of klisheni, because I'm assuming your soup is ready in the bowl and you're going to add various things into your soup bowl. So there's another very important halacha when it comes to bishul, and that is the rule that ein bishul acha bishul, is that when it comes to Shabbos, yes, you're not allowed to cook things on Shabbos, but once something's cooked already, something can't be cooked twice, right? Once it's been cooked, you can't cook it again. And even if it's completely cool, and even if it's completely cold, but once it's been cooked. So, for example, you have your lokshon, right? Lokshon's been cooked up before. It might be very cold now, but the lokshon's been cooked. So no problem, you can add your lokshon into the soup bowl, because whether the soup bowl is a cliche, even if it's a klishlishi, it doesn't matter, because since the lokshon's been cooked already, so you're allowed to add your lokshon to the soup, no problem, because ein bishul acha bishul. And even more than that, if in theory you wanted to add your lokshon to the actual soup pot, the kliwishon, so you can't obviously add it to the kliwishon when it's on the fire, because that might be a problem with chazara, but if the soup pot's off the fire, a boiling hot soup pot, but the lokshon's been cooked, ein bishul acha bishul, you can no problem add your lokshon to your soup bowl. Croutons, what about croutons? So let's first start off with deep fried croutons, which I think is generally deep fried croutons, the yellow croutons. So deep fried in halacha, we say deep fried has got the halacha of cooked. So yellow, right, deep fried croutons, also these things are considered cooked. So ein bishul acha bishul, once it's been cooked, you can't cook it again, it can't be cooked again, and therefore again, it may be added to your hot soup. It doesn't make a difference whether the bowl is a klisheni, whether it's a klishlishi, since these croutons have been cooked, ein bishul acha bishul. The shaila is, what about dipping bread into your soup or your baked salad type croutons, right? In other words, the halacha is ein bishul acha bishul. Once something's been cooked, you can't cook something twice. Once it's been cooked, there's no musk of cooking it again. But the machlekes is, and the Shulchan Aruch brings two shittas about this. What happens if something is baked, right? There's two types of cooking. There's something which is called wet cooking, which is what in halacha is called bishul. You cook in a liquid, that's bishul. And there's something called dry cooking, right, where there's no liquid involved. Roasting, baking in the oven, that's called dry heat. So the question is, if something has been, what you've done to this thing is you've baked it, you've applied dry heat to it, right? Like bread, your matzah, your baked croutons. Dry heat has been put onto this crouton, and now, by putting it into the soup, it's now undergoing a process of cooking. So the question is, do you say that, you're right, once something's been cooked, you can't cook it again. But if it's been baked, then the cooking does affect it. Ein bishul acha bishul, but yesh bishul acha rafia. That's the question. And the Shulchan Aruch brings two shittas about this, right? Some say, no, once, any time the substance, the food has been changed by heat, doesn't matter what type of heat it is, so therefore, ein bishul acha bishul. Even if it's been baked, and others say no, that since it's going through a different procedure, so therefore yesh bishul acha rafia, two shittas in the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Ramah says yesh bishul acha rafia or yesh rafia acha bishul. Yeah. So in this case, if you're putting your bread into your soup, your bread was baked and putting it into the soup, it's now going through a bishul acha rafia. So the Ramah says that one should be machmir and one should take on that perhaps there is Bishalach Rafia. And therefore, says the Ramah, not only should you be careful not to put your bread into a Kli Rishon, but even into a Kli Sheni, because like we said, a lot of things we're not sure. It could be they could cook in a Kli Sheni, apart from water and oil. So bread, we're not sure. It could be that it does cook in a Kli Sheni. So therefore, don't put your bread into a Kli Sheni. Don't put your salad croutons, don't put your bread into a Kli Sheni. Because maybe, Yesh Bishlach Ofir, that's the words of the Ramah. Vanago, to be careful not to dip bread into a Kli Sheni. So now, let's go back to our case of the soup. So you have your soup. And you're ladling your soup out and you're putting it into your soup bowl. So if you say the soup bowl is a Kli Sheni, then according to the Ramah, you should be careful. Don't put matzah into there. Don't put bread into there. Don't put your salad croutons into there because Yesh Bishlach Rafia. If you consider it a Kli Shlishi, so then it'd be okay. Because like we said, Kli Shlishi for most things is okay. So some people... I know that Rabbi Rafalk is machmeh, and Rafalk says that you shouldn't put any of these things even into your soup bowl. But there are others, and Lemaisa, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, when he talks about the shaila of is the bowl a Kli Shlishi or Kli Sheni? So there's a theory in the Mishnah Berurah. And in one place, the Mishnah Berurah says that by using a ladle into your soup, so the soup bowl becomes a Kli Shlishi. In another place, the Ramah says no. That the Mishnah Berurah says no, that the by using a ladle, the bowl is a Kli Sheni. So someone answered, there's no stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Why is there no stira? Because when it comes to our case, when you're adding baked stuff to your bowl, so anyway, there's a shaila. First of all, it could be Ein Bishlach Rafia. Since anyway, there's something else to rely on, so therefore in this case, you can rely that the ladle makes the bowl a Kli Shlishi, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah would hold that you can add your baked stuff to the bowl. Whereas in other cases, when the Mishnah Berurah says that don't rely on the ladle making the bowl Kli Shlishi, that's because in other cases, there's nothing else to rely on. So that's what I was saying before, that because you've got this shaila, is the bowl a Kli Sheni or a Kli Shlishi, when there are other tzirufim, when there are other things that you can mistaruf, so some will tell you that, for example, in this case, you're adding baked stuff to the bowl. First of all, it could be anyway, there's no Bishlach Rafia. And even if there is Bishlach Rafia, maybe the bowl becomes a Kli Shlishi. So because you've got two speakers over here, some would tell you that you can rely in this case on putting the baked stuff into a hot bowl of chicken soup. So it's machalik zapoiskim. But there definitely is what to rely on by putting baked stuff into the bowl. Again, because you've got two speakers. Number one, it's been baked, that's anyway a shaila, and number two, maybe the bowl is a Kli Shlishi. So that's one scenario. So I'd like to get to another scenario. So another topic which is discussed by the Rishonim is that although we know the klal, which is agreed on by all, is that ein bishal acha bishal, once something's been cooked, you can't cook it again. But there's machlokes Rishonim, what about liquids? Does this only apply to solids? But by liquids, maybe we say yesh bishal acha bishal. And the svara is obviously very muvan. What's the svara being is that, for example, if you have chicken, if you cook your chicken, so now the chicken is cooked. Even if the chicken is cooled down, but no one's going to consider this non-cooked chicken. For sure, the chicken is cooked, and even if it's cooled down, but it's cooked chicken. So therefore, ein bishal acha bishal. But when it comes to liquids, so you could say that the whole, what does cooking do to liquids? The whole mila, the whole advantage of liquids is that the liquid is boiling hot. That's the whole mila to liquids. The moment the liquid cools down, so then it's lost all its cooking power, right? No one can tell the difference between a cup of water which has come out of the tap and a cup of water which was heated up, which has cooled down, right? They're exactly the same. Therefore, some Rishonim take on that ein bishal acha bishal only applies to solids. But when it comes to liquids, yesh bishal acha bishal. Other Rishonim take on no. Other Rishonim want to say that no. That ein bishal acha bishal it always applies, whether it's liquids, whether it's solids. And what's the difference between a water which has come out of the tap and water which has been heated up and cooled down? Okay, so it could be there are differences. As we know that, you know, for young children, people are makpid only to give boiled water. It could be it cleans certain germs, etc. So maybe there's a difference. Al kaponim, there's machlekas. Does the rule of ein bishal acha bishal apply by liquids? Now, you have a look in the Shulchan Aruch. So, very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, seems to take on that by Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul only applies to solids, but if it comes to something which has got morok, which has got soup, then we revert back to Yesh Bishul Lecha Bishul, and it could be that it can cook. Now, there are more. That's in Sif Dalad and Shinyut Ches in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Ramah, later on in the Simon, has a very interesting shitta, and the Ramah says as follows. The Ramah says that, I can't remember his exact question, the Minag or something like that, but basically the Ramah says that if the liquid has cooled down completely, then we're choshesh Yesh Bishul Lecha Bishul. But if it's still warm, even if it's only warm a bit, even if it's below Yasa Ledus, but still slightly warm, then Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul. If it's completely cooled down, then the liquid can cook. If it's cooled down a lot, even below Yasa Ledus, then Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul. Now, the question is, what does that mean in the Ramah? Monofshach, if you hold that liquids can cook, so Lechori, the moment it drops below cooking point, below Yasa Ledus, so then the moment it cooks below... Right, but the moment it drops below Yasa Ledus, then I would say, yes, if it can cook, then the bishul should apply. And if you hold Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul, then even if it cools down all the way, we should say Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul. What's pshat in this Ramah that the Ramah wants to say that if it cools down all the way, then it can cook again. But if then it's shy to do bishul. So I've seen different svaras. I saw that Rav Falkman down's two svaras. One svara is to say is that really the Ramah holds Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul applies equally to solids and to liquids. And once something's been cooked, whether it's solid, whether it's liquid, you can't cook it again. But the Ramah just holds that if it's completely cooled down, a type of Drabonon, Maris Ayin, since it looks like you're cooking, therefore don't heat up that cold liquid again. But really, the Ramah holds Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul. That's one thing you could say in the Ramah. Another thing you could say in the Ramah is that no, the Ramah holds that liquids can cook again, but as long as some heat remains, therefore some of the old bishul is still in this liquid, and therefore since some of the old bishul is still in this liquid, so therefore it's still called cooked liquid. And once it's called cooked liquid, it can't be subjected to bishul again. But when it cools down completely, now the old bishul is gone, so then it is shach to cook it again. So again, just to come back. So again, the Ramah was saying two pshatim. One pshat is that the Ramah holds really Ein Bishul Lecha Bishul, just if it completely cools down, so then there's some sort of Maris Ayin Drabonon Gezeira Dikadin that looks like cooking. And the other way of saying it is that no, the Ramah holds that when it's completely cooled down, it is proper subject to a Bishul Da'iraisa, just if it's a bit warm, so then it's still some of the old heat remains, and since some of the old heat remains, therefore it's still called cooked, and therefore it can't be subjected to bishul again. So let's go back to the scenario of our Friday night chicken soup. So now the question would be, so a few questions. So number one, a person is ladling his soup out of the soup and putting it into the bowl. So first question is, he's ladled his soup into the bowl, and now he wants to put his ladle back into the chicken soup pot. So now, if the ladle has been out of the pot for some time, so now the soup on the ladle has cooled down, right? So it's cooled down soup, and now you're going to dip that ladle back into the pot, which is a klirishon, which can basically cook everything. So, right? So again, now the clear is, if you hold that, well, since the small liquid left in the ladle has been cooked, so it can't cook again, Steph, you can't put it back in the pot. But if you hold that that since it's cooled down, that can be subject to the bishul, so you can't put it back in the pot. So in this case, it seems to be what people say is that one should be makpid to dry the ladle. If the ladle's been out of the pot for some time, one should be makpid to dry the ladle. But because since cool down liquid on the ladle could be subject to, potentially, according to Ramah, can be subject to the bishul. So by putting it back into the pot, you're getting into a serious shaila bishul. Therefore, if the soup on the ladle has been cooled down, so then you should be makpid to dry the ladle before you put it back into the pot. Okay, what about the other way around? What about your person's had soup, and it was such good soup, wants to have seconds. So now the bowl's a bit wet. Here it's not from washed up water, but rather it's from some leftover soup, and he wants the ladle from his soup. He wants to take a ladle, dip it into his kli rishon, and then ladle it onto the leftover soup in his bowl. So now here it could be a bit different. Why? Again, and now what's the case over here? Because here, if you consider the ladle a kli rishon, so now you're doing iru kli rishon onto your liquid. Iru kli rishon for sure has the power to cook. So iru kli rishon onto uncooked things is definitely a problem. So again, here it could be potentially there's what to rely on, because over here, you're entering into two worlds of sophic. Again, you're ladling from you're putting your ladle into your kli rishon, and you're ladling onto the leftover soup into your soup bowl. So again, some might tell you, yeah, you should dry the bowl because potentially this cold soup in your bowl is now called uncooked, and you're doing iru kli rishon onto your leftover soup, and that's a problem of bishul. But others might tell you that over here you can rely, because over here you've got two shilas. Number one, first of all, it could be the ladle is anyway only a kli sheni. So iru kli sheni is not going to be a problem. And secondly, that's one sophic, and the other sophic is that even if it's not going to be iru kli sheni, well, anyway, this leftover liquid in the soup is been cooked liquid, which is cooled down, which is also a shayla. And we said two pshatim in the Ramah, could be according to Ramah, that really, mi'ikra din, this liquid can't be cooked again. And therefore, some will tell you that ladling your soup onto some leftover small droplets into your soup bowl might not be a problem, because you've got two shilas. Number one, like we said, it could be iru kli sheni. And secondly, cool down soup in your soup bowl might anyway not be subjected to bishul. So that is another nidan. The last
same thing would be if you had soup left over in the plate.
Yeah.
And you wanted to return it to the keli rishon from keli shlishi.
Right, so that l'chayra people would say you should not do, because there...
If it's not mstanen, if it's still warm.
Oh, if it's still warm, then you can, yeah.
Into a keli rishon.
Yeah. Not on the gas, because that's going to be chazor, but keli rishon off the fire. Off the fire,
off
not
the
obviously...
Fire, off the fire.
Off the fire, yeah, off the fire, yeah.
If you took a keli rishon,
yeah,
and it's off the fire,
it's still a kli rishon, yeah. If it's dropped below Yad Seledes, say again.
Cool down, Abi.
Yeah, if it.
Yeah, and then have you laid it to your bowl.
So if the temperature of the pot is still Yad Seledes, which is also machlek is exactly what it is. I think in the 40 around somewhere in the 40 degree area. But if it's still Yad Seledes, then yeah, then kli rishon. As long as it's Yad Seledes, then it's got the power to cook. If it's Yad Seledes and it's kli rishon, then this pot will definitely be a kli rishon. Again, ladling it will be a shayla. Is there a kli rishon? Is there a kli sheni?
Can you have second of chicken soup?
Say again.
What did you say? Can you have second of chicken soup in your drop of chicken soup left on your plate?
So I'm just here to open up. Some will say that it's better to be machmir, and you should, if the soup in your plate has been completely, if it's been completely cooled down, so then you should dry it. But others will say, I think a lot of people will tell you that since there's two things to rely on. Number one, it could be really three things to rely on. Number one, if it's mummish only a few drops, could be that's completely insignificant. If it's mummish only a few drops. Number two, it could be the ladle anyway is only iru kli sheni. And number three, cool down liquids, maybe not subject to the bishul. So there'll be a lot of people that will tell you that you're fine. But again, everyone should say again.
Take a clean plate.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to get into the shalom bias issue. If you shouldn't, I don't know, whatever. Okay, fine. Just one more very brief area. Is what about adding salt to your soup? Can you add, right? Sometimes you need to add salt to your soup. Can you add salt to your soup? Salt is a machlokas in the Gemara. There's two lishnas in the Gemara. Some say that salt is such a hard thing to cook that even in a klirishon, even if it's as long as it's off the fire, even in a klirishon, you can't salt cannot be subject to bishul, and therefore even in a klirishon, if it's off the fire, salt may be added. The other tradition of the Gemara goes the other way, that even in a klisheni, you're not allowed to add salt, right? So one pshat is even in a klirishon off the fire you can. Others say even in a klisheni you cannot. Now it seems to be most take on that the ikaloch is like the first lishna, which is that salt is very hard to cook, and therefore even in a klirishon, if it's off the fire, salt may be added. However, Tosfos does bring this brought down an halacha that somebody who's machmir not to add salt even to a klisheni is called tovei lov bracha. That you know it's good to be machmir, and therefore tovei lov bracha.
Pepper is the same rule as salt.
Say again.
Pepper is the same rule in
Pepper, I'm not sure about pepper. And the Gemara also talk about tavlin. So if you say pepper comes under tavlin, so then tavlin definitely cannot be put in a klirishon, but can be in a klisheni.
So, is our salt mavushal?
Oh, so the question is, what about our salt? Is our salt mavushal? So there's just very briefly. So that is, apparently this machlok is exactly what our salt is. Some say that our salt is mavushal, and therefore if it's mavushal, anyway it's mavushal, and therefore.
Table salt is mavushal. Cooking salt is not.
Yeah, so.
Cooking salt.
Right, so there's different types of salt. There's different types of salt. There's the fancy salt. I'm talking about a regular salt. I think a lot of regular salts are subject to something. But apparently, this machlokes is exactly, is it called bishul what they do, or is it called, is it dry heat? They put it in some oven or something. So, there's a shayla of the regular salt. I think the fancy salts aren't cooked, but the regular salt, there's a shayla of is it called baked, or is it called cooked? Even by the way, if it's cooked, if it was cooked, you would say in bishul achabishul. However, the Mishnah Berurah does bring that although in bishul achabishul by solids, but if the solid dissolves into the liquid like salt, it dissolves into the liquid, then it's got a din of a liquid, and therefore in bishul achabishul by solids. But if it dissolves in the liquid like salt, so then you treat it like a liquid, and therefore yesh bishul achabishul. Although the Mishnah Berurah says only in a klirishon one needs to be machmeh for that. So when it comes to salts. When it comes to salt, okay, yes, when it comes to salt, so these are the shilas, just to ma'ur the olam, what the potential pitfalls out there, and everyone should enjoy their soup. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.
Amen.